This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. The sounds of a cocktail bar may be foreign to those who haven't been in one for many years or who avoid them, and the sounds are a distant memory to those who once frequented them prior to March 19, 2020, when the state of California went into shelter-at-home mode. Yes, some bars are now open, but it's just not the same, and frankly, people just really need to stay at home until the coronavirus is properly dealt with. One person is doing his best to do his part to flatten the curve by staying home and recreating the ambiance of a cocktail bar right in his own home. And he is creating his own unique quarantini a day.
I'm Dusty Collierworth, and in tourism by trade, which obviously isn't happening much at the moment while we're sheltering at home, so I've been expanding my creative side as a home bartender.
A home bartender, and I've been seeing your posts on Facebook, and do you have some kind of like cocktail a day challenge or what? I mean, like, what are you doing and how did it come to be?
This kind of came to fruition when we got sheltering at home, was just kind of this inspiration to create something new, to just like, I had a really well-stocked home bar, how can I like play with this into keeping myself entertained? And I started by posting that on my social media accounts to surprising fanfare from friends and community members that started really enjoying it. And it just grew from there for me, where I'm like, okay, well, now I've got to do this every single day because people are excited about it. And if I can bring one small element of joy into our shelter at home via a cocktail, I will take that bullet.
Well, thank you for making the lives of some of us a little bit more joyful and refreshing. And I'm sure there are people out there who would prefer mocktails.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, one of the things that I love to create in my recipes is I do a lot of my own simple syrups, flavored simple syrups, which is kind of an easy way, especially for a home bartender, to kind of develop new and interesting flavors in a cocktail. And those syrups translate really well into mocktails paired with juice, soda, what have you.
When did you make your first cocktail and what number are you up to now?
Oh, golly. I started just a couple days after we started sheltering at home. So we came in on March 19th and I posted my first one on the 22nd. And so now I am well into the 60s on my cocktails crafted, all originals. It's going to keep going. I said I'm going to keep going until I'm no longer sheltering at home. I might not even stop then.
You said they're all originals. So are you making up these cocktails yourself?
I am. There's a lot of basics out there, you know, martini, Manhattan, and just taking like different spins and riffs on those. But as I've been progressing, I've been kind of finding themes in things that I enjoy, morphing those into cocktails such as they are. You know, so I had a Harry Potter time. So listening those into cocktails. Since we can't travel anywhere else, I just said, okay, I'm going to do flavors of the world. Every day we're going to go to a different destination and encapsulate that into a cocktail. So just taking fun things like that, that I can then get my creative juices flowing.
That's fantastic. Clearly there's a lot of deep knowledge of flavor pairings that you must have. Where did that develop from?
As I always joke, I'm a hedonist at heart. I feel like one of the first steps to being good at craft cocktailing is just enjoying food. That kind of understanding of how flavors work in things that you enjoy to eat translates directly into how you might want to pair things into a cocktail. So I also just kind of like a basic formula in my head where I start with, okay, well, let's start with a base spirit, something sweet, something sour, maybe something bitter, and just combine those, like picking those elements to pieces and crafting from those, fill in those blanks.
How long does it take you to develop a recipe, or do you develop it on the fly?
Sometimes it's on the fly. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe deep thought for over the course of the day until I get to my afternoon crafting time of just what I want it to be and going from there. They're not always hits right off the get-go. Sometimes I have to tweak it once or twice until I get it just the way I'm happy with it.
So when you say you have to tweak it once or twice, does that mean you've made that cocktail two or three times in that afternoon?
Usually it's usually not more than one tweak. Usually I know the flavors and how they work. It could just be as simple as that sweet element, pulling that back a little bit. If the cocktail was a little too sweet, if I put in a little too much lemon juice, so it was coming across as too tart. So just adjusting the ratios in the recipe just so that it makes a satisfying all-rounded cocktail.
Let's talk about your bar. What you do is you take a beautiful picture of cocktails that you've made, and then you put the recipe in there. Probably around day 48 was when I got in touch with you and said, your bar must be amazing. And you said, yes, it is. And I replied and said, my bar is amazing. And it was like all cocky and everything. And I send you a couple pictures. You have a better stocked bar than anywhere I've seen in San Luis Obispo. So how did that bar develop? Are you the kind of person who's like, oh, I came across this new cocktail, so I'm going to go buy all the ingredients, and then you end up with all of these things that you rarely ever use? Or are you the kind of person who is in the grocery store and says, oh, I've never heard of that before, I'm going to buy that?
It's a little bit of both. For me, it's like definitely inspired. Like when I see something that looks new and interesting, and I definitely want to try it and play with it. They're like my toys. I've tried craft cocktails out and about at some of my favorite watering holes, and they have interesting ingredients that intrigue me that I want to add to my repertoire. So I acquire those. Other times, I have some go-to resources of places I like to order from, or I'll just start by Googling whatever fill-in-the-blank liqueur, because I want that flavor in a spirit form until I can try and track it down. And that's how I acquired some very interesting ingredients. But just with a few staples of what I consider like the must-haves, you can create some really awesome classic cocktails.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio. I'm Father Ian with Dusty the Mixologist. So you're making your cocktails every evening. You're married, right? Sheltering at home with your husband.
Yes.
So he's the one who gets to try your cocktail.
Oh God, he will not try most of them, I promise you.
So you're making a cocktail for one. You're not like shaking cocktails for two or four, and your husband is just an onlooker.
Correct. Where he really helps me with his eye is my photo game has increased as I've tried to take all these new photos. He helps me with my eye of staging my photos in such a way, because I want them to be fun, but not too contrived when I'm posting them. That's where his help really comes into style for me. It's like, hold this for me. What do I need?
The first picture you actually sent me was of your bitters shelf. And I only know one bitters. And you had like 20 different bitters. And so what do you have to say about the art and the craft of the spirits and liqueurs industry as somebody with 20 different bitters?
It's always fascinating to me to discover a new treasure and the nuances that make something subtly different, and how it can affect the end result of something that you're making. You're talking about my bitters collection alone. Like, I've tasted like three different celery bitters, for instance, and they all taste slightly different. None of them are exactly the same. And when you're building a cocktail, about understanding the flavors and those nuances, when you start adding other things, of what's going to highlight the strengths of the things that you're combining. To me, I never want to mask anything. One of my Facebook and Instagram posts, I got connected with a Greek company that makes a Greek vodka that is partially distilled with olives. It's like nothing I've ever tasted before in a vodka, because it has that subtle olivey briny taste to it. This is absolutely amazing. Now, I'm not going to combine this vodka with orange juice. It would hide all of these wonderful nuances that are in it. I'm even just looking at domestic vodkas. Tito's is made from corn. It has a definitely different texture. Has a silkiness to it and a subtle sweetness to it because it's made from corn, as opposed to a potato vodka that has that more starchy feeling. So it's the way you taste them and just build a recipe around what's going to highlight some of the best qualities that that spirit has.
So do you have a cocktail for us today?
I do. I was thinking, I wanted to put a fun twist on another classic, a Tom Collins. It's warmer today, so let's go for a nice refreshing beverage. So obviously, you know, classic Tom Collins is gin, lemon juice, simple syrup, and a Collins glass topped with soda water. So I'm making a Dusty Collins today. I'm going to build in some grapefruit, which is a flavor I love. I'm going to use a dash of Angostura bitters. I'm going to use a fun ingredient as well. And when I talked about how simple syrups are a fun way that you can play at home with ingredients that you have on hand and enhance your beverages that way without shopping for a bunch of different liqueurs and spirits in your house. One of the ingredients I will be utilizing is going to be a rosé syrup. So it's a simple syrup that instead of water and sugar, I use rosé wine and sugar. to make this rosé syrup, so it's just got this little fun punch of winey flavor.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Another thing is usually in a classic Tom Collins, it would just be straight up juice. I'm actually going to muddle a couple pieces of grapefruit and a piece of lemon. I like to do that because the muddling is not just doing the juice, it also includes some of the peel, and it has all that wonderful citrus oils in it, which just changes the character of the cocktail a little bit too.
And you're there mashing it with your muddler. You have a professional muddler. You don't just have a spoon.
I actually have a couple different muddlers. Some of them I feel like are purely decorative. This is my most functional muddler. So we're going to muddle a couple pieces of grapefruit and a piece of lemon. We're going to start adding the fun, a 1/2 ounce of that rosé syrup. We're also going to add one of my liqueur treasures that I found. Again, like I said, just look for any type of liqueur flavor that you like. They usually exist, and this is a thyme liqueur, so it is a liqueur made from the herb thyme. And as I said, it's one of those just fun, herbaceous flavors that is going to go really well with our addition, which is, of course, going to be gin. I'm going to use a Hendrick's Midsummer Solstice gin, which is a slightly more floral-forward gin than classic Hendrick's. It still has those, again, nuances we're talking about, has those cucumber notes that Hendrick's classically has in its gin, but also a lot of floral botanicals, making it a little bit more bouquet. I tend to really like floral flavors. I tease this because I had my mouth washed out with soap so many times as a kid because I was a sassy brat, that I just learned to like things that taste like soap. Those muddled citrus, 1/2 ounce of the rosé syrup, 1/2 ounce of the thyme syrup, 1.5 ounces of the floral forward gin, and 1 dash of Angostura. And we're going to add some ice to that.
Can you throw it in the air and catch it?
I could throw it in the air, and what I would get would be a mess all over me is what would happen. I'm going to just strain it into our crushed ice-filled Collins glass. And then I'm going to top that with soda water just to get those bubbles in there. And then I like to garnish with some of the flavors that I already have in there. So I'm going to garnish it with another grapefruit quarter slice there. And I've made what I'm going to call affectionately the Dusty Collins. Perfect.
Is that the first time you've tasted that? This is a new creation?
This is a new creation. I picked out what I thought was going to go well. Luckily, it did this time on the first try. By muddling the grapefruit rather than just squeezing juice in, it gets a little bit of that bitterness that we associate with kind of that grapefruit peel. So that balances out the sweetness of the syrup and the liqueur that we added. I did a little bit of lemon because I like a little of that sour back note as well. Thyme is balancing with the floral profiles of the gin, giving it a back note of herbaceousness. And then just adding that soda water just makes it really, really refreshing and delicious.
That's fantastic. I wish I could be there to taste it with you. So what has been the best cocktail that you've created?
Oh, God. And it's actually funny. One of my absolute favorites that I made, there's two. And actually, one of them was not gin-based, which is funny for me. Both of them were kind of in the whiskey wheelhouse. I made one for my dear friend, Anthony L. Smith. He had challenged us to make a fun pancake recipe. Me being me, I made a pancake cocktail recipe. So I made it on an old-fashioned where I had brown butter washed some bourbon. Fat washing is that you literally put the melted fat into the whiskey, put it in the fridge, let it cool, and then you remove that fat back off of it, and all it does is infuse some flavor and a silky texture. It's also a fun way to create stuff at home. So it was a brown butter washed bourbon, maple syrup, and some toasted pecan bitters out of my bitter collection, some toasted pecan bitters. And then I garnished it with some maple candied bacon.
Wow, that's amazing. I think I saw the picture. This was just this weekend, right?
This was just this last week. It was kind of the pinnacle of my world journey that I did. I said I wanted to bring it all back home to an American cocktail. It was a lot of fun. That was actually one of the ones I said, rather than my usual like planning for a day, I've been planning that one for 2 weeks. I had it in my head what I wanted to make, and it turned out exactly as amazing as I wanted it to.
Wow, I've never heard of the fat washing, which sounds really cool, and the brown butter and whiskey would go really well together. And I do believe that in the picture, you had $3 pancakes.
Yeah, I made some, and admittedly, I'm not the best pancake maker, but I usually try to make large ones. I've learned that I'm really good at making mini pancakes.
I'm Father Ian, bringing you Playing with Food on KCBX Public Radio. Does the glass matter?
Oh, golly. Absolutely. In a lot of ways. In a lot of ways. It depends on, you know, don't be wrong, I'm also a proponent of any port in a storm. If you have a vessel that can contain the beverage you want to drink, please use it. Sometimes it's like the shape of the glass does matter, similar to how we approach wine and why wine glasses have different shapes. And it has to do with where a beverage will hit you on the nose, where it first hits your tongue. And sometimes that makes a huge difference, especially when we use things like citrus garnish for an aromatic. You want to be able to smell that, even though there might not be that citrus in the cocktail, because it changes how you perceive it on your tongue when it hits your tongue at first. By smelling a burst of orange on a Manhattan, shall we say, even though there's no orange juice or orange in the cocktail itself, it's just that burst of aromatic on your nose when you go to take a drink in a martini or a coupe glass. What has that wide opening in order to sip it.
Is there anything else you want to say about your journey as a shelter at home mixologist?
Honestly, I said it's one of those things that, again, I started to keep myself entertained, but it grew into this thing that was so simple a way for me to connect with other people during this time. And what's fascinating to me is this kind of growing culture I get to find myself part of friends reaching out to me and say, this is what I have in my cupboard, help me make something. So getting to be that kind of like vicarious, like mad scientist and help them craft something based on what they have, very chopped, like of just saying, I have these three things, make me something. Okay, let's do this. But also connecting via social media worldwide, I think that's one of the things that has also excited and humbled me in so many ways, is connecting with a whole world of home bartenders and real bartenders all over the world that are engaging with me, talking with me about ingredients and my cocktails, sharing with me their creations as well. And so it's a really fun community that I've kind of found myself in on that side of it too, and getting me through all of the shenanigans that we find ourselves in right now.
Would you have any interest in being a cocktail bartender?
Honestly, it's kind of one of those things where I enjoy it so much personally. If it was my actual profession, I don't know if I would enjoy it as much, but I've never put it to the test. I definitely enjoy entertaining, and I'm always happy. I said, like, I've got bar stools at my bar. When we're able to meet again, anyone's welcome. I've definitely done it for my friends and coworkers, where I've started getting some mason jars so I could like make some grab-and-go cocktails. Also, my dear neighbor just across the way from me texted her a few times, would you be interested in this cocktail if I made one for you? And she always just says, yeah. She has a bench outside her house, so I just set whatever I want her to have on that, and then she comes and grabs it.
Dusty shared his Dusty Collins with me, and he also made a cocktail just for me. It's very lovely. It's very tasty. He took my criteria seriously. It's got a little bitter note, which is nice, and it's got a little bit of hint of sweetness there in the back. Got some floral, but it's kind of more citrusy floral, and it's just really nice. Thank you, Dusty. My personalized cocktail included rosé vodka, Lillet Blanc, Ganache Americano, dry vermouth, and orange bitters. I've only heard of those last two ingredients. Shelter at Home is ongoing and likely to go on for some time. Dusty the mixologist is ongoing too. He created his 100th cocktail on June 30th. It was a fairy godfather. Butterfly gin, rosé vodka, Lillet Blanc, white creme de coco, elderflower liqueur, orange blossom honey syrup, lemon juice, and a big dash of purple luster dust, whatever that is. He shook all the ingredients with ice, strained into a cocktail glass, and he says stardust garnish is optional. After hitting the 100 mark, Dusty channeled his mixology skills into a week of mocktails, non-alcoholic cocktails. His Independence Day mocktail, Pursuit of Happiness, particularly refreshing, with juniper-infused white grape juice, strawberry nectar, butterfly blossom syrup, lime juice, and Bolivar bitters. After a few days' break, which all of us who have been working from home have needed, Dusty shakes on. As of July 17th, Dusty has served up 112 cocktails and mocktails. For Dusty, like for all creative types, this isn't just about the booze.
When I feel like I'm doing this, it's also a little bit of an art form, you know, where it's kind of my creative, it's my outlet, it's my art. So in so many ways, as we know, art, different forms of art, they're meaningless without sharing them with people and letting that people have that experience with you, understanding maybe where you were coming from with it. Like, do you get what I was referencing when I put these things together? So it's definitely an element that matters a lot to me, of people being able to experience and enjoy something that I put thought into.
Great. Thank you very much, Dusty. And hopefully we'll get to share a cocktail soon.
I hope so indeed. Cheers until then.
This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.